The North American Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net, will not be heard at this time, so we can bring you a CLW 83 Network special presentation. In the endless reaches of the wrestling universe, there once existed a planet known simply as Poopton. A planet that smelled like the ass end of a Rikishi stink face. Their civilization was written and predetermined well in advance, and had brought forth a mold of man whose mental and physical powers were developed by WWE creative to mimic the peak of Hulkamania, without the tanning and balding. But there came a day when the stench of F5 gas threatened to destroy Poopton
forever!
One of the planet's head writers, believed to be Freddie Prinze Jr., sensing the approach of doom, placed his infant son in a small rocket ship and sent it hurtling in the direction of Earth just as Poopton exploded. The rocket ship sped through star-studded space, landing safely in West Newbury, Massachusetts, with its precious burden, Poopton's sole survivor. A passing limousine found the uninjured child and took it to nearby Stamford, Connecticut. As the years went by and the child grew into maturity, he found himself possessed of amazing physical powers. Faster than a Scott Steiner tweet. More powerful than a dynamic dude. Able to sell a rainbow of Boston Celtics cheap pop green t-shirts in a single night, the infant of Poopton is now the man without zeal. Super Cena! Yes, Super Cena. Able to beat Brock Lesnar with only 30 seconds of actual offense. Super Cena, able to infuriate the IWC with a single attitude adjustment. Super Cena, still able to sell one thing and one thing only, merchandise. Super Cena! Tonight's episode, Super Cena, a lord and a GM that's stiff as a board.
But before we get to that, we have a lot of other advertising and wrestling to do before the man of no zeal appears. I just can't top that. So, welcome to our superpowered edition of the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman. And at my round table tonight, we will start with the man you'll have to thank for interrupting my show, Mr. Jim Williams.
Least I can do. I mean, by the way, for those of you listening in, I am employable. Just saying, with that, I can get you coffee. Wait a minute.
No, I'm not gonna. I'll save that for later.
Does the girl dance? Yay! Okay.
Next at our table, someone who is sitting all the way on the other side of the planet but can still hear us, Mr. Shane Beeman.
G'day, guys. How's everyone going?
Doing well.
Doing good, sir. And our number four at the table, Ethan Muslin.
Oh, wow. Jim, I think you really have topped yourself this time. Yeah. I nearly sneezed confetti, too.
Jeez. Just because I throw in the word forever.
Hey, you're not the only one that celebrated Pinky's birthday yesterday.
Now wait just a damn minute. Oh my god. That's code, I think. Anyway.
While we can enjoy and celebrate another week and another fine week in wrestling, there are several individuals who could not, after a huge disaster on Saturday, and I'm not talking about Extreme Rules. I'm talking about another Shane. I'm speaking specifically of the franchise and his attempt at Extreme Reunion. Sold out arena with people paying as much as $100 to see this. You know, after I read the results, I felt so bad for them. Shane, did you see some of this disaster? Did you see online some of the results of this disaster?
Okay, all right. Extreme Reunion, man. This thing has been I hyped up to the bullshit for so long. I mean, Shane Douglas, the franchise himself, or we should call him the Fat Chise, but anyways, he had to sneak in the Raw and try and get them publicity and failed miserably. And even your Uncle Paul had to come out online and say he wanted nothing to do with Extreme Reunion.
Smart man.
And I, as you can clearly see from the results, fucking smart choice. I mean, or if there was a, if we had a Daniel Bryan no thing, we'd play that right now. But unfortunately, we don't.
Alas, I do not. But let me see if I have a proper fail for that. Yeah, something like this. Just because Edge's contribution to Extreme Championship Wrestling, the WWE incarnation, was infinitely better than anything that happened that night. I mean, okay, Jim, I only have to mention two guys, Sabu and Justin Credible.
Oh, dear God. It just... Some things never change to some degree. I mean... The way of the world back in the 90s with ECW, the drug thing, yeah, it was going on rampant. And Sabu damn near died over the weekend. Let's not kid ourselves. He damn near killed himself over the weekend.
Yeah, it's true.
Justin Credible, you know, or as I will always call him, Justin Asshole, taking photos of Sab, of good God! Just, you know...
And
my pet peeve is the fact that there's even another Extreme Reunion show. You know,
don't worry, it's not going to sell, and it's not going to sell anything.
Well, yeah, I mean,
tickets. Oh wait.
Then from WrestleChat, you know, Shane Douglas in his best David Otunga glasses and serious face mode put out a video on YouTube about the concerns from the show. Among the things, he will lead by example and no longer wrestle at another Extreme Reunion show as a way to urge others who do not belong in the ring any longer to do so. He announces a major overhaul of the roster. Oh, dear God. An initiative to prevent toxic behavior from the talents, hint, hint, Sabu. Says that production quality failed to meet desires and expectations. Maybe that is Douglas. Maybe he's going to cheese me off or something. And Douglas asks for a second chance, apologizes to the fans, and vows to make it right going forward. Shane, here's how you make it right going forward. Quit! Stop it! Live, in the words of a famous song that is always lampooned by WWE, leave the memories alone.
Shane's heart may be in the right place, but he's just got to realize that, you know, he should have thought of all this before he set up the show. Yeah. Come on, franchise, you know better than that.
I just don't know what went wrong.
No, that's not right. Derpy has more of it together than Shane Douglas. Come on.
Well, the fact, and you've touched on most of it, the fact that the internet broadcast of this show. There was actually posting for refunds if you had bought it ahead of time. So yeah, Shane might have sold out the arena, but I'm betting he's going to give every penny of that back.
75,000.
Target's looking better by the minute, ain't it, Shane?
Oh, heck with that. Burger King looks better at this point.
Hey, yeah, but I'm making things are happening at Burger King. Come on, don't knock it.
I've got a. I
except for extremely salty fries.
Well,
that's beside the point.
Hey, everybody! Yeah. Have you seen my fries? There. Never mind.
No. Just no. Let's see. So let's go on to some better news here. Extreme Rules, which was pretty much a coin flip for a lot of us to whether or not we were going to see it. I went ahead and purchased it, and I did enjoy. A good portion of the show. I definitely enjoyed the two title matches. I enjoyed most of Cena Lesnar.
Yeah.
most. Everything else was, you know, everything else was just kind of, eh.
Hit or miss, yeah. Take it or leave it.
But I'm not going to complain. I have no right to complain because apparently I didn't know what the hell I was talking about when we were doing all when we did our pick'ems.
Yeah, I actually completely phased and didn't even do them.
Good on.
Actually, probably a good call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I probably would have failed miserably, as usual.
Well, just so you know, I've got the pick'ems up in front of me. And sitting at the very bottom of the pile is poor Jason at basically 2. And I just heard a protest, I think. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I can hear the silent echo of rage coming all the way from Brooklyn. Yes. Oh, no, wait, that's the Nets. Never mind.
Ah! No, that's Phil Mushnick on the Nets, but we won't go there.
Yeah.
Let's see. Then there's a 2.5 in here. Who was that? That was VRM.
Of course, because VRM has to be different.
Well, then me and Statboy tied it up at 3. Chief High Muckamuck had a 4.5. Let's see, some 5s. That would be Typho, and where's that other 5? Tyler. Mm-hmm. So, but just to give a quick rundown, since we don't do actual recaps.
Mm-hmm. Do it on your own time, people.
Exactly.
WrestleChat.net has it, yes.
Yeah, most of us got Sheamus Bryan, most of us got Punk Jericho. It was pretty much a flip of the coin when it came to Kane Orton. Nobody, short of a flush, got the Intercontinental title match. Only a couple people got the Ms. Morella match right. Nobody got the Nikki Bella match right, but I think we pretty much threw that out.
Yes, nobody expected Layla to return. Everybody was thinking karma's gonna kill you, but no.
Exactly.
And also, something else that didn't help anybody was the wild cards. Not a single wild card played.
And in retrospect, I should have used my backup, which was going to be alcohol would be involved in the Punk Jericho match. I should have done that, but no. Damn you, AJ! Damn you to hell! Call me, though, sometime if you're... Yeah, anyway.
So, unfortunately, you will not get that sort of reward. The reward will be the NAWC Fizzleweight Champion, which is now no longer on American soil, ladies and gentlemen. Our new champion is Shane Beamon.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much. I think I've only got this thing twice. I think twice now. The whole time I've been here.
I'll go get the belt and toss it in the Pacific. I'll be right back.
just take into account continental drift and everything, and it'll be there in about 6 to 9.
2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
Now.
Oh, for fudge sakes! I'm so.
Oh, that's.
I'll be back.
A phone call now. Oh, then that's yes, lovely.
Yeah, in Australia, the phone rings you. Wait a minute. No. That's.
Yakov Smearmite?
Anyway. So let's see. Now here's some interesting piece of news, or at least I think it's news. It's very in character, but let's just throw it out there. As I said, I liked the Cena-Lesnar match up to probably the last couple of minutes, as referenced in the brilliant open to the show.
Thank you.
Mr. Cena did what he always does, win. Damn you, John Cena. He then proceeds to get on the microphone and make some cryptic comments about going away. Now, of course, the IWC was like, please, 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 but we're not holding our breath because the last time you went away for a week, if that. Hmm. Now, but the story got out. That Lesnar saw Cena pick up the microphone and cut the promo and pretty much flipped his shit. This seems very in character for him. Jim, do you believe it?
I'm on the fence. I'm on the fence. I think it may be... I have a feeling, a distinct feeling, your bit of news may have come from one of our East Coast affiliates. Just a stab in the dark. Just you know, they may have had a hand in it. I'm not definitive. I'm just saying.
Ethan?
Yeah, I had not even heard about Lesnar flipping when Cena went to do his promo, but I'm honestly not sure. I'm having one of those fry moments, not sure if kayfabe or legit.
Shane, are you still with us?
Yes, sorry. I've got a lot of people trying to call me. It's very insane. But no, I've heard about the whole Brock Lesnar situation, and I'm like these guys here. I'm on the fence because, like, you look at it and you're like, yeah, it does sound like Brock Lesnar. I mean, I'd be pissed off too if I'm getting told from WWE officials that Cena's going to be stretchered out and it's going to put him over, even though Brock's going to lose, it generally puts Brock over. But then Cena gets up and makes a speech afterwards. I mean, it does make him look weak, so I don't know, but I wouldn't blame it if Brock did lose his shit.
It plays so well into what happened the following night. First of all, somebody remind Clown Shoes that Lesnar lost the previous evening, because Lesnar got his little intro placard to the show.
Okay, well, my only argument to that was during the meeting, during the signing the week before, did he specifically state if he wins the match, or was that just part of the agreement so he could do the match?
I think that was part of the, that was the thing, was like, you know, if he didn't sign, you know, if he didn't agree to these terms, he wasn't going to do the match.
Okay, I thought it was if he won, they would change the name of the show.
And when I think of great moments of shows being taken over by individuals, I think of Trump Raw. So, there, that's just me.
Oh, God, that.
It's going to be huge. Huge.
Huge like my wig. It's going to be huge.
But yeah, you got Monday Night Raw starring Brock Lesnar, at least at the start.
Yes, but and you knew that the evil boss, Dr. Levesque, was not going to let that stand.
And why wouldn't he let that stand?
Well, part of his problem is the fact he doesn't like anybody taking over his show. But I think I know what you, you know. I think I know you. I think you know the real reason.
I admit it. I'm an asshole.
Yep.
Which is a huge quality for being a boss. So
yes,
he learned very well.
Yes, I actually enjoyed the fact that they kind of added, they kind of meshed in that the corporate background there for the contracts. It's like, yeah, Laurinaitis said, yeah, we'll make these changes. Corporate never approved. Your argument is invalid.
Well, yeah, Lesnar broke Hunter's arm. His argument is now invalid.
Ouch.
But I know the Evil Doc better than that. He's just making sure that the IWC doesn't get pissed that he showed up again.
WORK Work Radio.
It's a work.
Yes.
But definitely, you know, did have a really good impact with the live crowd. Reports came up on SmackDown that supposedly Hunter had damage to his elbow and was going to need surgery. Poor man's.
Gives him plenty of time to... No, I'm not going to say it. No.
No.
Say it.
No.
Dummy!
No. There you go. Tell me.
What do you have time to work on a kid? Crank out a boy.
Tell me.
I just did. Oh, don't stop it.
Took you a second.
You know, I started this endeavor joining Carl with a podcast in the hope we could bring some enlightening radio to the masses, and then ponies happened.
No, and then you actually started doing it.
It's her fault, damn it.
You got a new promo, Carl. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay, I swear every time the big boss talks, I swear it's like God. It's like, God, is that you?
He mocks God. He mocks God. Oh, wait a minute. No.
So take that, Jim. Honey.
Move on, please.
Okay. Yes. To make sure that there was not a lack of wrestling on Raw, there was a beat the clock challenge.
Stuttered by Eve, yes.
Yes, to help make up for the fact that there wasn't that much wrestling last week, here's a whole bunch of wrestling.
Breaking my heart. We did get some pretty good matches out of it, and a question mark on Jericho's match.
I think that was just a case of bad timing. I think the countout was supposed to happen with like 1 second to go, but you can't really get that down unless you are absolutely perfect in timing.
Now, so whose bright idea backstage was to put JJ, the rookie ref, out there for that match then?
Good question. I have no idea.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought that was the rookie ref. Well, I wish him the best in his future endeavors.
Well, no, it could have been
It's not
worse.
On him. I'm only kidding. It's on the person the booking. Yeah.
Well, like I said, JJ's a rookie ref. They've got one other rookie, Zapata, this dude that usually was reffing the women's matches when JJ was out with a broken leg. Ooh. He wasn't a good ref to have out there. I mean, I think even Scott Armstrong has better timing than this. I'll probably get a couple of arguments for that, but that's okay.
But I think on the other hand, though, this might have ended up being good in the long term anyway, which we'll get to a little bit in just a little tiny bit.
Well, I can get to that right now,
that works too. Whatever floats your boat.
Well, let's put it this way: when the Beat the Clock challenge completed, we got a pleasant surprise for our number one contender, to which it was that some believed that there was nothing left of the internet after this happened.
I think we can make the case that the internet exploded twice.
Yes.
Just over 24 hours, yes.
So, indeed, the answer is...
Yes! 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 Yes!
The password is splooge. Okay.
So, needless to say, while we were mopping up the internet after this explosion...
Wait, Perry Saturn has work now? Good.
You're welcome.
I'm sorry, I couldn't resist.
But in case that wasn't enough, they made sure they threw in things for other fans, for people who actually are begging for something to happen in the tag division. Boom! New tag champs. And
I do have to say, they kind of missed out on an excellent opportunity to give R-Truth some novelty. His partner should have been Little Jimmy.
Given what they pulled on SmackDown, I'll have to give you that. I'm still waiting for Justin or Lillian to introduce this new tag team as they come to the ring. You know, coming to the ring accompanied by Little Jimmy at a combined weight of, you know, come on.
Yes.
How hard can this be?
Yeah.
And the fact that Kofi had acknowledged Little Jimmy during their entrance on SmackDown. Camacho committed a crime and punched a Little Jimmy in the face to the crowd's reaction. I don't think that was piped in audio.
Little Jimmy's more over than you think. I'm going to say it. Little Jimmy's more over than Hornswoggle.
And so Hornswoggle's going to get a break since he hasn't been coming out with Clay lately.
Well, his last time coming out with Clay was, I think, at Extreme Rules, wasn't it? Or yeah. The SmackDown before that, one of the two, yeah.
I think he's been more utilized on NXT these days more than he is on primetime TV.
Shh, nobody's supposed to know that show is still on the air, Shane. It's okay.
Actually, somebody beat Shane to it because Derek Bateman showed up on SmackDown this week.
Yeah, well, there you go.
And then cut a promo saying, "Hey, I want a match on NXT. Wow, to get on to SmackDown, and I want my match,
and okay. I want it now."
Oh, they gave him something, all right.
Yes. Zwieback.
Yes.
They gave him a huge ass whooping.
I wouldn't call it a match so much as squash.
Yes. Zucchini squash. Yeah.
Very much. Very much.
What to do, everybody? What to do?
Let's see. We've gotten to see a couple new faces, or actually one returning in the guise of AW, aka the world's worst talk show host.
Ah, come on! Don't be hating on my boy like that. Come on!
Don't mind if I do. Okay. I think he's doing better reprising Teddy Long's original Malcolm Y gimmick, 7-year rule. Now that he's got Primo and Epico working for him.
Here's my card. There you go.
I'm sorry. I remember that. We also had the debut of Damian Sandow, sort of.
Sort of. Well, they are just dragging this thing out, aren't they?
I'm worried that this is going to turn into like what happened with Sean O'Hare.
Mm.
Yeah.
These wonderful, wonderful promos. Although he cut a fair promo when he came out, saying that he wasn't going to wrestle Derek Bateman. So I don't think it's going to be that he's not going to be a problem in front of the camera. I just, you know, eventually, Mr. Idol, you are going to have to take that robe off and wrestle.
Mm-hmm. I think unfortunately that's probably going to be his shtick for the next few weeks, is that he's going to come to the ring and it's like, "No, I am far superior than this gentleman. I refuse to step in the ring with this common folk."
And anything less would be uncivilized.
Yes.
If anything, that's just going to escalate the heat on him. And I think I'm okay with this.
Yeah, and in thinking about it, it actually would.
Mm.
Our other appearance was, of course, Mr. Antonio Cesaro. That was your cue, guys.
Olay.
See?
That was a facepalm.
Cinco de Mayo is holiday time. What?
Down. Anyway, no. Antonio Cesaro. Claudio Castagnoli.
Ah, that's right. Yes, yes, yes.
Hey!
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 Taking a moment. Sorry, it's been a long week.
Oh, that's all right. I still do a double take every time he shows up on camera because he looks so much like Jason Statham. Anyway.
Okay.
He does, to me.
Easy tiger.
Oh, no. Don't worry. They managed to completely kill the segment when Teddy Long showed up to assist in the photo shoot.
Baby oil!
No!
Have fun getting that out of your heads, gentlemen.
How did I get roped into this?
I asked you to come. Let's see. So Buster. Fine. Apparently, I've been asked to fix the scene. So everybody, hold still. Brain bleach. Anyway.
Thank you.
You are very welcome. Now that I can speak. Now that I have a slightly clearer head. I hate to bring this up, but we're going to have to talk a moment about Hambone.
Yes, we are.
I hate to say it, but he behaved himself Monday night.
I mean, it's one of those odd things where you're watching the show and Michael Cole ends up looking like the sane one.
It doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense to me, but...
Well, I think, and the rumor is they're trying to turn him as opposed to a heel, trying to turn him not so much face, but neutral, where he can kind of pick the brains of the heels while completely giving fair time to the faces. He didn't go off on any of the heels last night, or rather Monday night. And I didn't watch all of SmackDown, so I didn't know if that carried over to Friday night.
Sadly, no. His needle got stuck when it came to the Big Show. And he started bitching about him beating up Cody after the Intercontinental title match and throwing him through two tables. For the record, I would be pissed too if I had the bell rung on me on a technicality like that. Because last I checked, in a tables match, and I realize I'm trying to apply logic to wrestling, bear with me for a moment. The goal is to put your opponent through a table. Mm-hmm. Not put yourself through a table. And a match doesn't end when a table is broken. Not when you're putting somebody through it.
Right.
Then again, I have seen this rule applied many different ways, and I'll have to tell a house show story now. Tables match at a house show: Gene Snitsky versus Chris Benoit. Mm-hmm. Benoit was getting set up to finish the match. He has Snitsky on a table. To stun him, he starts headbutting him. And after about four or five headbutts, the table breaks. But they weren't done with the match yet. Yeah. So they had to finagle something real quick, and they got the match restarted. Mm-hmm. So, anyway... Cole flipped out about that, and there was something... Oh, yeah, during the main event, where Del Rio had come to ringside and was going to sit and watch Sheamus Bryan, Cole was sitting there dogging on Booker again. And I've had enough of that. But for the record, no. I think I've muted him all of 10 minutes this week, which is probably the least I've had to mute him in probably 2 years.
Well, for what it's worth, and of course, right. Wikipedia is never wrong. they even have a section where they put face turn 2012 to da 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 da. So some people think it's a face turn. I'm with you. It's not. I think it's still feeling its way out.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But we'll just have to keep watching. I would just, you know, I'll take the Monday Night Raw version of Cole. If he would just shut up, call the matches, lend some insights, and as you said, pick the brains of the heels while still giving decent props to the faces. Whoops.
What do you mean, whoops? He's still employed? Is that the whoops?
No, I wasn't expecting him this soon. Give me a second.
Okay.
And I quote, gentlemen, I was hoping that you would be able to loan some time after our commercial break for a brand new segment. Nikki knows what I'm talking about.
Hmm.
What perchance could this be?
That's not ominous or anything.
It will give a little bit extra time for everybody to sit back and relax, and everybody will definitely enjoy what we're going to be bringing to the show.
I wonder if this segment has to do with juice recipes when you cut yourself open.
I'm not 100% sure. I might have something to do with the city of Atlanta. I've got to double check everything.
Ah.
So I'm going to need a couple of minutes on that. So why don't we take a break here, grab some drinks, grab some snacks. And I will try to get this segment up right after these commercial messages.
Hey. You're listening to the North American Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net on the CLW 83 Network.
Roll the tape on this.
Since we do not do recaps, if you didn't watch the show, that's your own damn fault.
I think I can sum this up in one word.
Well, I'm so glad I brought it up then.
As a great man once said, that marijuana make you lazy.
Yes.
When I was watching that segment, I was just thinking to myself, if I were Sheamus, if I were Daniel Bryan, I would have been seriously pissed off.
It comes down to four simple words. It's the economy, stupid.
What partnership? I don't see no partnership.
The partnership I need to get laid?
The CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
Williamswear is now a part of the CLW 83 Network and is proud to offer official CLW 83 Network merchandise. Go to williamswear.clw83.com. Click the CLW 83 Wear button and browse through an ever-growing, ever-changing selection of items dedicated to your favorite CLW 83 shows and websites. The BS Big Show, the NAWC, Game Show Garbage, and many more. All available at williamswear.clw83.com, the official online store of the CLW 83 Network. Tune in and shop right now.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW, ROH, and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
Hi, this is Carl Chenier, and you're listening to the CLWA3 Network. Tune in.
It's a dance number. Yeah, we get it.
Welcome back to the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman. I have Jim Williams, Ethan Muslin, and Shane Beeman here with me. And I'm going to have to bring somebody else in here for our new segment that our general manager has been asking us to do. It might have to speak for itself because it has been speaking for the last 3 to 4 weeks. So, without further ado, I'm just going to reach over and press this button.
And now, the NAWC presents Scott Steiner Won't Shut the F*** Up.
Fat asses!
And welcome to the debut of Scott Steiner Won't Shut the Bleep Up. I am VRM. And we've got another week full of Scott Steiner tweets to go through. Oh boy. As well as some rather interesting rebuttal. If you can even call it rebuttal. So, So it started off with Steiner doing his usual, complaining about Hogan. Then he gets into some shots about calling Hogan gay, because what his ex-wife has said. Some shots at how they pushed Orlando Jordan. And how... about how Sting was disgusted at this, at everything going on back there. Calling Hogan an effing idiot, blah, 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 blah. Then Eric Bischoff got on Twitter. Bischoff came on Twitter and and said, 50-year-old, after Steiner was referencing an opening at a Shoney's, Bischoff replied, 50-plus-year-old man pitching greasy fried chicken in Buford and wrestling indies in front of 250 fans? Bitter. He goes on to continue saying, it's hard for some guys to move over and let the younger talent rise. Irony? One of Scott's bitches in his 20s and 30s. Now he goes on to retweet a whole bunch of BS about Steiner being jealous and being an disgruntled ex-girlfriend, blah, 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 blah. Pulls out the Royd card, pulls out the quote-unquote AARP card, and then Steiner fires right back.
So, before you start that, let's see. I've got a proper brace yourselves for everybody.
Cover power, dear.
Fire away when ready, sir.
In immediate response to Bischoff. There you are, you little bitch! Been tweeting for 4 weeks now and you decided to respond when I tweeted about being at Shoney's to go to grand opening. Really, I'm playing poker with you and I've already told you what my hand is and the significance of 609 and the Shoney's tweet brought you out of your hole. First off, if you want to call anybody a drug abuser, look no further than your son. 609 Garrett was a 140-pound, non-athletic pussy in high school, but as everybody can see, he can take everything under the sun, but it hasn't improved his athletic ability. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Let me educate you on Shoney's. First off, this wasn't a paid appearance. I was there on behalf of my friend of 18 years who purchased the Shoney's brand 6 years ago for around $300 million, and it's no longer a greasy fast food joint, as you suggest. You would have known this if you ever went to the TNA offices, because Shoney's corporate offices are also in Nashville. But as you like to brag, you're too high class and make too much money to eat at a place like that. Well, the hashtag 609 suggests you ain't high class at all. So for everybody that's been tweeting me back asking what is the significance of 609 and why, chant 609 when either Bischoff enters the ring is because part of a larger number that Eric owns now. Garrett is going to have to live with it. The full sequence is 1:19-CR-609, and it represents Bischoff's docket number when he testified under oath in the Atlanta's Gold Club trial. More later on his exact testimony, which is very revealing and humorous because it shows what a weasel he is, which I will also post on my website. Bischoff, you need to worry about the crowds that TNA is drawing since you three assholes have taken in control. 2,500 people were at the last pay-per-view in Nashville, the home base of TNA, and a lot of those were freebies. Bischoff can't deny anything that I tweeted about because it's all true. So he's trying to change the focus, saying I'm too old, slow, and boring. Really? Check out Rinka King footage that I didn't... That I didn't want to move over for the younger guys. All I did was try to elevate guys and pass the torch. Ask any wrestler, better yet, look at the tape. I'm not a mark like Hogan and have to have creative control because people don't care who wins or loses. They want to be entertained. Hogan, living in his fantasy world, actually believes he's winning. Trust me, Bischoff, you and Hogan are about to find out I'm the last guy you should have with. You're going to find out that Payback is a bitch, both mentally and physically. Right now, I'm effing with your mind, and I will see you both again, and you will see how ruthless I can be. Bleed that!
I have tears in my eyes.
Wow.
I have tears in my eyes, and I also, but I have a very, 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 very small worry. Strong personal attacks, only a little bit of kickback. Am I just being cynical, guys, or am I starting to smell work?
I'm not sure.
You know, while I was listening to that, part of me, the back of my head was going, maybe, maybe, maybe.
Shane, any thought?
Like, I don't know, like, it... Like, it started sounding very, like, it sounds very personal at the beginning, and then now we've gotten, now just after hearing that one, part of your mind's like, well, Scott, there's no way you're going to get into that building unless this is a work. So, now I'm just on the fence. I'm like, oh, for fuck's sakes, make up your mind, people.
This kind of releases just about everything we've been getting in wrestling lately, how that line between legitimacy and kayfabe is starting to blur so much more, and it's working really well.
I kind of like it, but it makes me nervous at points. But you're right. There's no way Steiner's going to be able to walk into TNA anything and expect to even get within shouting distance of Bischoff, so let's get his hands on him.
Well, to be fair, nobody with money will walk into a TNA anything either.
True.
So, Viram, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And I will send you on your way with a proper exit.
This has been Scott Steiner Won't Shut the F*** Up.
He's fat!
That must be Steiner now. Yeah, I was going to say, will you get that, Shane? I think that's Scott.
Yes.
So, yes, we've, now that the Twitter war has escalated somewhat, it just, now it's kind of intriguing. Most of Steiner's latest rant sounds for real. But then I hear shills. Then I hear, I'm going to get my hands on you. Now I'm hearing a promo. That's why I'm a little nervous about this. But we are going to keep an eye on this. Why wouldn't we get ourselves a complete intro and close if we weren't going to stick around to see how much more Scott Steiner has to say?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, I mean, other things have gotten big intros and closes and gone in a week too. So go figure that out.
Shh. What you were going to say, Shane?
I'm very intimidated right now. I mean, Scott Steiner just called up and said that Eric Bischoff's going to be a dead man. Like, what the fuck are you calling me for? I'm in Australia, dickhead.
If the least you know is Paul, maybe he tried to call me. Give me a second. Where's my phone? There's a voicemail and there's something wrong with my screen. Frick, he called me.
No.
My screen is melted. I'm going to have to get a new phone tomorrow. Okay.
Oh, man.
No, I don't blame him for getting mad that I didn't pick up the phone. I should know better.
Well.
So, let's see. Ah, yes. I do have some news about another international star, specifically Wade Barrett.
Oh, yes.
Mr. Wheel Barrett.
Yeah, well, in my neck of the woods, no less. Recently, I believe.
Is that where the movie's being shot?
It's being shot in Philadelphia, yeah. They're taking some of the streets signage and redoing it to make it look like New York. Yeah, good luck with that. But Wabara, matter of fact, if you check WrestleChat.net, shameless plug, of course, there's actually a video link from Action News here in Philadelphia. So Jim Gardner, the legendary news anchor, makes his WrestleChat debut. Beautiful thing. And I believe he is interviewed at one point during the video talking about the WWE Studios movie.
Tentative title of the movie is Dead Man Down, and it looks to be a action thriller kind of deal. What little I can glean from a handful of blurry photographs that popped up on the fan boards. And if he's out there acting, then his arm must be on the mend.
There's the link to the video I put in the chat there for all to see.
Nice, thank you.
Yes. You got to speak
that's
to that.
Well, that's one thing, actually, that I've been trying to discuss with myself. What are they going to, like, when Wade Barrett returns, I'll be very interested to see, because we've all these new talent coming up and everything else. What's Wade Barrett's place going to be when he comes back? Is he going to be put in the main event? Is he going to stay a mid-carder? And who's he going to be feuding with as soon as he comes back?
Well, the standing rumor at this point for him is that he is going to come back. They're going to put him cusp of main event and, you know, keep him strong. After all, they altered some of their pay-per-view plans, supposedly, to make sure that he procures the one thing that will put him on top. And that would be a briefcase.
Ah, yes.
I was reminded of this since there was, I believe the advertisements were on Raw, that that tickets went on sale for the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. And no, I cannot go.
No.
But he looks like a prime candidate to pull down the briefcase, which would be, I think, is a really good call.
I would agree. That would definitely be a good call there.
So he would be opening up a mid-card spot so that they can, you know, they can pull somebody up and either, you know, start expanding the tag division since they have all this talent coming up, or start actually rebuilding a B division, U.S. and Intercontinental, because it seems, you know, you have a champion, somebody decides to challenge him, they fight for a couple of months, somebody else challenges, they fight for a couple of months. There's no division. Or at least
even with the tag division, that's just, you know, you have the champs and then random tag team is random.
Right. And that's we can't really say that about Kofi and Truth because they had been tagging on and off the last couple of months. I guess it was just testing the waters, and I thought it was just a stopgap until Evan returned, but now that he has a prolonged vacation, while he gets his foot back together.
Yeah, and you have Justin Gabriel and Tyson Kidd, they're being rumored to start their tag team up when Justin Gabriel returns, so...
Oh my god, more than three tag teams at one time? Oh my god. Who'd have thunk it?
Now, to be fair, Go ahead.
Oh, sorry, you go, Nikki.
No, I was going to say, we already have a few tag teams. It's just that they really don't do much with them because we have Primo and Epico, we have the Usos, we have Hunico and Camacho, which granted was done, you know, single style for a while, but now they're actually letting Camacho wrestle. Mm-hmm. We have the current champions, of course, Kofi and R-Truth. As you said, Tyson Kidd and Justin Gabriel, which I'm definitely looking forward to.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not bad, but I'd still like to see a couple more teams, at least some that are just tag teams.
Right. The lost art of the tag team, indeed.
Lost art of the tag team in everywhere.
Yep.
Let's see. Now, I think I know part of the reason we didn't get the... Even though I said that the internet was completely destroyed Monday night, I think something kind of put it back together.
Oh?
Well, it's just the fact that despite John Cena's injury...
Nice judge.
Yeah.
Oh, God, here we go.
He still managed to drop by and tried to make it look like he was hurt, so he had his arm in a sling. And tried to be a hero to the people by talking a bit about, talk a little bit about his boss.
Mm-hmm.
Just like everybody else does.
People power!
Oh, God.
Not bad, by the way.
And the excitement of this room has just dropped.
Are you kidding me? This is electric!
Oh, no. I ain't done yet.
Oh, God.
Because Clown Shoes decided that if he's going to enforce people power, that means John Cena must have a match. In fact, he's going to make sure that he has a match at Over the Limit. Enter Lord Tensai.
Or if you listen to what he actually said, the over limit.
That's right. Yeah, Malaprop. That's his middle name.
He can't even say that.
Malaprop.
See?
Proper Mal.
But the president.
Proper Mal.
Oh. We're gonna duly get Johnny Aces here.
And I think that's a good thing for this company.
Yeah, shut up.
The
yeah,
world ain't big enough for that many clown shoes.
Bozo would beg to differ, but okay.
Yeah, but
you've got about 535 in Columbia, so.
We made that joke at the Stooges show. Trust me. Let's see. Or was I getting it? Ah, yes. Clown Shoes has decided that he wants to wrestle. And what better for Mr. Excitement to do but put himself up against John Cena.
Great. Another person for John Cena to carry.
Well, he did carry him, but he seemed so comfortable when they set him up for the attitude adjustment. But it's just this kind of balance thing. The fact that you get the IWC's hopes up with Punk Bryan, and anybody who goes to Over the Limit, anybody who hears me talk about this broadcast, if you do not start an ROH chant, I will be sorely disappointed in you.
Even a This Is Wrestling chant, which will give you a couple of jabs too with TNA, that'd be, you know, kind of nice.
I'm all for that. But going from this highest of highs to this lowest of lows with Cena and Clown Shoes.
Yeah, this card's going to be very hit or miss, just like Extreme Rules.
Well, I said it. I don't know if you guys saw the post when I put it up there, but like we have the greatest, like probably the greatest match we're going to see all year. And I'm making a big statement with that in Punk versus Bryan. And then we get the worst with John Cena versus John Laurinaitis. I'm sorry, but give me Marty Jannetty any fucking day. I mean, he could work so much better, and he's like, what, 50 now?
Hell, I'll go one further, Shane. Give me the Geritol bottle on a pole match that Steve Austin was crowing about in ECW when he was doing his Eric Bischoff impression.
You know, in retrospect, my first instinct was when I heard it was going to be Cena Laurinaitis, my thought was, I'm okay with this.
Why?
I guess it's harkening back to the old Austin McMahon thing, but they're trying to do the best with what they've got. I mean, it's not going to be the same level as Austin McMahon. We can make that absolutely, perfectly clear.
I was going to say.
Yeah, but I mean,
at least
trying...
McMahon could talk.
Yeah.
And rest and work. Let's give the man credit. He could work too.
I guess maybe I'm trying to get my hopes up for this that it will actually work, but you know, given it is old Johnny Clown Shoes, I don't know.
Drop kick.
Thank you, Ben.
I completely agree. Like I think they're trying to do like redo Austin and Vince, but in all honesty, like if you're going to do something like that and to even try and match the magnitude of that, I mean, wouldn't you do John Cena versus Triple H? I mean, that would definitely get more people involved. Like, shit, Cena's actually going nuts at the COO of the company and stuff like this, and friggin' start it off like that, not having wrestle John Laurinaitis. I mean, I don't know if any of you guys saw it, but I saw the John Laurinaitis highlights of his wrestling career, and I thought, fuck, if that's your highlights, I'd hate to imagine seeing your whole freaking career.
Was it sponsored by Chapstick?
No, WWE put it up. Wrestling highlights.
I know
Johnny
Ace.
I was like...
I got you. Nikki probably gets what I'm saying here.
Tisk.
Yes.
To be honest, guys, if they were going to do Austin McMahon, I think we would have gotten Punk Triple H a lot longer last summer.
True.
Because that You know, but everybody was so upset that, oh my God, Triple H wouldn't put CM Punk over last summer. The collective facepalm in WWE Creative was like, well, you know, we're not going to please them. So let's really piss them off and bring Kevin Nash back. Anyway,
Yeah, but this is what they want for a pay-per-view, so, you know. By the way, if I may segue, speaking of pay-per-views.
Yes.
First quarter earnings report came out earlier this week, if I may.
Oh, no, go ahead, please.
Yes.
This is, go ahead.
Yes, here we go. So, the first quarter earnings report came out. By the way, WWE stock actually went up a little bit earlier this week, like by leaps and bounds for them, 13%, which is kind of amazing. Mm. So if you still have that $1 penny stock, no, well, this isn't mad money. What am I saying? Booyah. Anyway, only numbers for the Royal Rumble and the Elimination Chamber, because they deem the WrestleMania 28 official buy rate will be out in the second quarter results over the summer. Here we go. Royal Rumble in 2010, 462,000 buys. Last year, it was 446,000. This year, down slightly again, 443,000 buys.
Still not bad, though.
Still relatively steady. The Elimination Chamber, 2 years ago, 285,000 buys. Went down big time in 2011 to 199,000. And this year it went down a little bit more by 21,000, 178,000 buys for the Elimination Chamber. Now, during the conference call, Mr. McMahon ensured shareholders and what have you that the Royal Rumble and Elimination Chamber, while doing fewer buys, made up the same amount of revenue because more viewers were ordering the high-definition feeds, which, of course, are more expensive and makes up the lost revenue in actual buys. As I mentioned, the WrestleMania 28 buy rate won't be officially announced till
second quarter.
The Q2 report, yeah, but he did say during the conference call that nearly 1.3 million pay-per-view buys globally, but he did say the final number might be less than the estimated 1.3 million, so stay tuned.
Yeah, if I could jump in here for a second, I know why Chamber 2010 got so many extra buys.
Well, yeah.
Because I was at the show. Oh, wait, no.
Oh, jeez.
What?
Well, you know.
Okay, something about a guy getting caught on fire.
Fire.
They would have gotten another 100,000 buys if we got to see what he did to the pyrotechnician. But I digress. Please continue.
Oh, that was all I had for the.
Okay.
For the QV and the information on the stock. This was as a Thursday, so things probably changed Friday. The stock closed at $8.90 per share after it had bottomed out around $7.75 three times in the past couple of weeks. So 13% of nothing is nothing. So there you go.
And I have something to say about Vince McMahon's comments about the revenue from those other two pay-per-views. Actually, no, not me.
Fucking bullshit!
Thank you.
Now, Vince is deliberately dodging a bullet, but he can get away with it when it comes to WrestleMania because it was officially happening in quarter two.
Right.
So he didn't have to report it.
Mm-hmm. This is true.
So, he's not breaking any rules.
Exactly. So sometime in August, it'll probably be reported, if my timing is correct. The official stuff on WrestleMania.
There you go.
Finding to Survive.
Yes. Just like that.
Yes.
So... this, unfortunately, is going to be a very short show. So, Jim, do you have anything to plug?
Well, I'd like to plug what is currently up on... and let me just say about this episode, Murphy's Law is in full effect, because the latest episode of Touch 'Em All, available at CLW83.com, was riddled by a couple of things. Number one, we recorded the show just hours before a no-hitter was thrown. Oh, and one of the panelists, I won't say who, here's a hint, he did a new segment this week, couldn't show that he's a professional broadcaster, because he had to cheer for his New York Rangers when they scored. No, I'm kidding. Kidding, VRM, I'm kidding. Please don't rebut. I'm only kidding. No, we had a fun time. DC Lundberg, Jason Block, me, and the aforementioned VRM. We talked baseball. We talked about the month that was in baseball and the worst broadcasters in baseball on Touch 'Em All, Episode 3, downloaded at CLW83.com. Do it right now, why don't you, while you're finishing listening to this.
Wow, there's actually room for Joe Buck to actually slide down the bench?
Yeah, Hawk Harrelson, John Sterling, yeah.
Sure.
Damn.
Ethan, you got anything to plug?
I'd plug something that also was posted here on the network just too recently. Red State, Blue State, lucky episode 13. We talk about, the latest in the elections, all about that kind of things. And we're also talking about how Obama just can't catch a break.
I would comment.
And also, there's also a convention in town in Summerlin, Nevada, but not that much up there.
Okay. I was going to comment about Obama can't catch a break, but I'm going to be nice. Shane, do you have anything to plug?
No, not really. Everything. No, there's nothing really to plug here.
All right. So, gentlemen, I think we've done enough damage for 1 week. And Jim, please keep up the good work.
Thank you. Well, I will try to. It's all downhill from here, though, I guarantee it.
So, for that, I am going to call this a show.
Okay, and it's a show.
Why,
here
yes,
show.
It is.
Here, show.
Here we go. Wait a minute.
Stop that.
It's a show. It's a show. It's a show.
Hey,
yes,
man.
From the new Carl Chenier album, Squatch Sings.
That's it. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
For Jim Williams, Ethan Muslin, Shane Beeman, our chief high muckamuck, Carl, Sasquatch Janier, this is Nikki Heyman saying, I'm going to go run for my life now. Good night, all. We'll be right back.
For more information about this podcast and all of our other podcasts, please visit our website at clwa3.com. Any questions or comments? Please send an email to clwa3network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLW83 Network. Tune in.